Jesus, that covers a multitude of sins. I thank You for the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank You for Your Spirit, God, of truth, who the world cannot receive. But You have promised that He would lead us and guide us into all truth. So guide our hearts today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit says. Give me eyes to see with Your compassion or Your judgment. God, give me a heart to follow after You today. I love You. I thank You for the church. I thank You for the ecclesia, the called out ones, the redeemed of the Lord. The true church, Lord. I thank You. It's in the name of Jesus I ask these blessings today. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you're here today. For you that have not been here, I pastor a church called The Refuge. Started it about 8 years ago, 9 years ago now, almost nine. And about this size and a bunch of mean people. A bunch of good people. And they're great people. I'm 2 hours behind, so my wife called me about 10 o'clock and said, Dave did good. That's always great. I have a Messianic Jew in my church. One of the greatest gifts God's ever given me is Dave Rosen. Hates church like I do. Can't stand church. Really can't. Especially when it's become religious. I love relationship with God. Now, see, I've already, for the people that's not been here, they just went, well, that guy don't like church. See, I told you we didn't have to come, you know. So, anyway. I don't like preachers. Except Pastor Chuck. I didn't say I liked you. I don't hang out with many preachers. I hang out with a lot of sinners. They keep me seeing the world as the world is. Lost, on its way to hell, broken, ugly, confused, frustrated. And then I come to church and I find the same thing. Among people who are supposed to be saved. We need Jesus desperately to work in our lives. Now, I'm going to preach a message this morning, and I'm going to use a scripture. The gentleman put it up for me. Psalms 23. Now, for the biggest part, Psalms 23 is a funeral psalms. That's how everybody uses it. The Lord is my shepherd. It is anything but a funeral psalm. Amen. This is the conversion of a sheep to a warrior. This is the conversion of a follower that is willing to submit to the principle of God no matter what. This is not, and I will mess it up for you. I'm good at messing up Scripture, so I come to mess it up, and I come to make you think today. I had Jesse bring a chair over here. I'm going to set the chair here in a little while. I'm going to put one person in that chair, and I'm going to use them as an illustration. If you've not been here, the other night I told Pastor Chuck that God was going to do something for him today. how God was going to work for him, how God was going to reestablish some stuff, how God was going to anoint his head with fresh oil, how his cup was going to run over. I need to tell you that there's a new era coming to this body of believers.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I said this last night. He said he don't remember what I said, so I'll say some of it. I said in the altar service that people had been seeking signs, been seeking gifts, been seeking miracles, and not seeking Jesus.
Right. Come on.
For the biggest part, in the average church across America today, there's about enough prayer been offered up during the week to fill up a thimble by the believers. Might fill up a shot glass of how many believers read a Bible. And we want to come on a Sunday morning and be spiritual for 35 minutes. It will never happen.
That's right.
So let me help you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. I want every day of my life. I wanted when I got up this morning a couple of things. The bathroom and water. That's sort of an oxymoron because the water I put in me made me go back to the bathroom. I want to breathe. I want to eat. I want to live. So what does it mean, David, to tell me the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? It is a place in your life where you're willing to get, where you're wanting to trust God more than you're wanting to trust what you eat, what you breathe, what you desire for yourself. It is a place where you're willing to trust God in every facet of your life. It's every area of your life. It's the place where God takes you and trains you and raises you up in the strength that says, I know that my God is able to do exceedingly, New Testament by the way, above that which I think or ask according to the power of God that works in me. Now, the Word has to work in you for you not to want.
Come on. Right.
Because want is covet. Want is lust. Want is power. Want leads to wickedness. It leads to murder. It leads to injustice. And David's saying here, the Lord is my shepherd, and he's taking me to a place where I don't want to hurt anybody else. I don't want to step on anybody else. I don't want to try to outdo anybody else. I don't want to look better than anybody else. I'm not trying to act better than anybody else. How you doing? Y'all doing okay? He's taking me to a place where all I want to do in my life is literally fulfill His will.
Hallelujah.
Now, what is His will? He said, if you want to know the Father's will, you pray it like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's God's will? It's for heaven to live in me. Let me tell you what heaven is. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not a new car.
All right.
Now, look. For the religious men and women in here this morning, I'm going to be blunt real quick. I'm going to bore you to death. That's why you've not come until this morning. Just thought I'd be nice. I don't intimidate easy. I don't back down. I'm not a coward. Don't use this. I'm telling you there's spiritual issues in your life that you refuse to handle. And why we can never have a good relationship with God is because we want everything else out there. We want everything out there, and we don't want what's really in here. It's not really what's in here this morning. It's really what ought to be in here this morning. You with me? Lord, I'll move because I've already made some people a little uncomfortable, so I don't want to make you real uncomfortable. I want to make you absolutely uncomfortable. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. Now, here is some problems with you and me both. I'm 58. Nobody's going to make me do anything I don't want to do. Unless you've got a gun pointed to my head. But it says He makes me do some things. Making us do things as believers has become a great task in the church. Making us do things spiritually in our own walk, in our own life, has become a great feat. We want the Lord to bless us. We want the Lord to gift us. We want the Lord to use us. But we don't want the Lord to make us do nothing.
Ooh, come on, brother. Preach. Yes.
I have pastored this church from the very concept of it. I wanted the building to start a motorcycle shop in it. And every time I rode by the building, it used to be a gambling place called Lucky Lisa's. And every time I rode by it, I said, that'd make a great church, I mean, great motorcycle shop or a church. But what you don't know is that I had a wreck in front of that building. That's how God got my attention to say, I'm going to make you.
Yes.
Riding by that building one night, I went to pull my helmet off. It's in the South Carolina line. You don't have to wear a helmet. Went to pull my helmet off. The Spirit of the Lord said, don't. I went to pull it off again. And the Lord said, I told you, don't. 90-something feet past the building, I hit a pothole on my dresser. It threw me over the handlebars for some reason. Shattered my clavicle. Burned a hole in my jacket. Hit my head first. Broke four ribs, broke these two here and there, and these two down here. I slept in an old folks recliner, is what I call it, one with the electric motor that helped you up and down, for 2.5 months. At the end of 2.5 months, God sort of made me. Not want a motorcycle shop there anymore. He sort of made me, hang out with me, He sort of made me want to call that person and ask them, what do you want for that building? Yeah, it's a funny story. You got 3 seconds, I'll tell it to you. Called, they told me what they wanted to rent it for. I was like shocked. I got the building. 3 other pastors came by and asked me, how'd you get this building? I said, I called. I mean, let's face it, when God makes you lie down, I mean, He made me lie down, literally, in the middle of the road going, oh, I thought I'd punctured my lungs. I couldn't breathe. When He makes you lie down, those pastors asked me, how'd you get it? I said, I made a phone call. They offered it to me. Said, what'd you get it for? I told each one of them. They went, my God, they told me I could have it for this much. One told me there wasn't no way I could have it. And the other one said, I called them 3 times, if not 4 times, and they told me they didn't want to rent it. I said, He makes me. Now, God really would rather for us to be more willing than making. And if you're wondering why some of the hell is going on in your life that's going on, God's trying to make you lie down. And He's really wanting you to do it willfully instead of really. I like you. You're not, and you still don't know where I'm going. Make me, you know? You ever had a kid look at you and go, make me? I loved it when my son tried that one time. He's 32 now. He didn't live. He did survive. He didn't think he was, but he made it. And I made him. He makes me lie down where? Give me 60 seconds to tell you why this is so important. Shepherds never sit on a low plateau. They always sit higher. They sit higher for a purpose. They led their sheep out to beautiful green pastures and fed them. Now, you've got to understand the thinking of a sheep, because when its belly gets full, it can't run. It don't move right. So he makes them lay down in green pastures. Now, green pastures, Walt, don't seem like a good place to get eat by a wolf. But it is a great place to get eat by a wolf. You say, why? Because wolves are cunning. In high green pastures, the wolf will lay on his belly and crawl. Now see, here's where you trust the Lord being your shepherd, where you don't want. In other words, I don't have to watch out for me all the time. Ready? I don't have to take care of me all the time. I don't have to worry about me all the time. I don't have to lay in bed and wring my hands or cry at night wondering how my bills are going to be paid. When He makes me, He knows how to protect me. Wolves have a tendency to get scraggler sheep who lay way far out. And here's what they do. They don't grab them by the throat. They just grab them by the heel. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, He puts me in a place that looks absolutely fine, but it's absolutely vulnerable. In other words, if I'm not willing to trust Him, I could be eat in a beautiful, lush, green pasture. So this don't make no sense. I've never heard Psalms 23 like this. It gets worse. He makes me, and then He, what? That was weak. Let's spit it out together. Ready? He leads me. Can He? Let me ask you a question. Can He lead you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you don't want me to. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Probably not doing as good as I did last night. You're probably understanding this morning and going, God, can you anoint him like last night so I can forget and he can do it again? You know, Pastor Chuck, some people will tell you, God's leading me away from here. I have a word from God this morning. He's trying to lead some people back too. And I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are. I have no dog in this fight. I will go home, back to my Jeeps, my house, my grandbabies. Let's throw the Jeep and the house away. I'll go back to my two grandbabies and oh wait, I am married, right? And her and no, I'm kidding. And the Lord will lead me back to North Carolina. But while I'm here this morning, now here's where we're getting problems with leading, because some people that stayed get an attitude over the what I just said. Because they go, if they left, we don't want them back. Yes, you do. Don't be a spiritual, you know. You want the interpreter of that, that's an idiot. Because when God gets in the arrangements of working things out and doing something new, He begins to revive, refresh, refill.
Amen.
You remember who it was who wouldn't really hang out with the guy that came back? That was the brother that stayed. In the prodigal son? You remember the whiner and the moaner and the groaner? Really had the bad attitude all along. And he's the one that stayed. Oh, God help me. I'll get you, my pretty. You say what? You see, God's going to do a work of restoration in this building.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen.
Praise God.
Got to be somewhere in this area where God can do something to lead people. But people have to be willing to be led. Now, we want to be spiritual, and we want to dance, and we want to sing, and we want to this, and we want to that, but lead me. My God, lead me. Don't do anything but lead me. Lead me right. Lead me to what? Where? Does anybody know any terminology about still water? Still water what? Oh, y'all are you sure you're not rednecks from North Carolina? Because you're hippies, that's right. Still water runs deep. Now listen to me just for a second. Because if you're not willing to be led when you get to still water, now we're talking about sheep, okay? That's what the water is still and it's deep, and when a sheep has its wool on it and it tries to get in, ready for this, over its head. I like your hand gesture, ma'am. Sort of told me where the sheep went. The sheep didn't float, did he? He went down to the bottom. So unless you're being willing to be led by the shepherd, when you get he leads me beside still waters. In other words, he leads me beside deep stuff. He don't put me in it. Hang out. A lot of people say, you're not deep enough. I've got to go somewhere where they're kumbaya. Every 35 seconds we got to speak in tongues. Paul said if you do that, it doesn't edify the body. You got to go somewhere where there somebody's always falling out. And I believe in falling out. I believe in demonstration of the power of God. I believe in all of that. I believe in tongues, interpretation tongues, divine healing. But that, hold on a second. That don't always mean it's deep. Sometimes God leads you beside stuff that you say, boy, that looks so deep. And God said, yeah, if I put you in it, it will kill you. And the only way that I can put you in it is to shear you. So I'm going to lead you beside it and not in it. Do you know why some people leave sometimes? They leave because confusion. They leave because frustration. They leave because aggravation. But sometimes they get their eyes on other stuff that's not as deep. As they thought it was. I ran into someone several years ago that had left. Asked them, how are you doing? They didn't want to talk to me. I said, I'm sort of persistent. I wanted to talk to them. They didn't want to talk to me, so I kept talking. Finally got down to it, and I said, where are you worshiping at? Nowhere. But I thought you went to deep. No, it wasn't, no. Me and my family are not going anywhere now. I said, why are you not going anywhere? Well, you know, we just got in over our head. He leads me beside still water. He doesn't put me in it. Hold on a second. Let me say this for just whoever it's worth. Will you stop trying to get in something that you don't belong in? Will you please, for the love of God, for yourself, stop trying to get in something that you don't belong in?
All right.
Enjoy the side. I'm just looking at these three ladies on the front row right here, like they're looking at each other going, like, I don't know whether I'm talking to you. I don't know whether you're with me. I'm not looking for a response. I'm just watching y'all's eyes, and it's like, God. I mean, it's really like the deer in the headlight, except the headlight's right here. You go, oh, foot, I've been hit. Pow! We'll just skin it right here, Roy. Yes, sir. Next verse, please. Help me get out of this hole I've dug myself into. He restores. I like restoration. I've got a 1989 Jeep that I took completely apart. I've got a 1967 Chevy Tunova that I'll never restore because rust has eaten more of it than I want to spend the $30,000 that my... Anyway, I don't want to... I'm not doing it. Anyway, it'll just eat up by rust. I've got a 63 Falcon four-door, and I'll probably give it away. It's not rusted. I just don't want to spend the money in it. Because restoration has never been cheap. I was born in 1957, so I'll use a 1957 Chevrolet. Two-door. No post. We'll make you hot rod red. Huh? Nah, we'll put a big motor in it. Nah. We'll put a new motor in it. We'll put a 502 stroker. Huh? There you go. If you want Craigers, we'll put your Craigers on there. I mean, you want to go old school? We'll kick old school here on Craigers, yeah. We'll have to beef them up because we'll put Franklin quick change axles in the rear end. And you say, wait a minute, what are you doing? Well, I'm restoring a hot rod to me. Have you ever gone to a car show and you've seen that 1957 Chevy at a distance and you go, cherry bomb, oh baby, Mufasa, come here honey, and you walk and the closer you get to her, she looks like she's down the side of it. It's been a shabby job of restoration. They put more Bondo in her than they put time. They filled her full of putty. They've weighted her down. They didn't take time to cut out. Ready for this? This ought to be spiritual. They didn't take time to cut out the rust. You know, to restore my soul, God had to cut past the rust. If you know anything about restoration, sir, you got to cut past the rust. You don't cut an inch past the rust. You go way past the rust. Matter of fact, if you're really restoring it, you look on both sides of the metal. You don't look just on the external side of the metal. You look on the opposite side of the metal to see what's going on. I like the dude on the back going, I like you. He's smiling. He knows what I'm talking about. Because if it's really going to be a cherry job, you're going to look at both sides. Let me tell you something about God and you and restoration. He's going to look at both sides. I'm only going to look at the one side where you go, I love Jesus. Oh, I didn't do that. I'd use both fingers, not one. I only see one side. God is good all the time. God is good. And God goes, we need to get some rust out of your life. I really, 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 really want to restore you. Hold on. What was the whole prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? Thy kingdom come. Why did he say that? What's he trying to implement there? He's trying to say, let's restore the way it needs to be with the Father. Let's get the kingdom back in play. Let's do away with the religion And let's get God back in this thing and let Him restore us the way it needs to be. In other words, set kingdom principles back in order. In other words, cut out all the junk. Cut out all the rust. Cut out the hypocrisy. Cut out the indifference. Cut out the prejudice, spiritual and physical. Quit judging by your natural eyesight and start discerning by what's on the other side. Restoration Jeep just empty every pocket. That's what it stands for. Doesn't it? Moving right along. Harley Davidson. That ought to be the Harley Davidson. Thousands of hundreds of dollars. Kitchen. Remodel it. I'm building a shower at home because I was too cheap to pay the guy $15,000 to remodel my bathroom. And I can do tile work, so I'm doing it myself. She's complaining. It's been 3 months, but at least it ain't costing her $10,000+. Wanted a new one. That's the baby it's going to cost. Get a contractor, and she gets a contractor. She goes, Can't we do it cheaper? I went, yeah, free labor. I know you can do it, but will you? Can you do it in a month? I lied. Yeah, I keep bringing her Lowe's bills and handing them to her. She said, "You told me. To restore, to renew, to refresh, to Yes, sir. I'll shut up and say what you want me to say here. Say what? The Spirit of the Lord just checked me that quick. If you really want to see a restoration. If you really want to see people's lives restored, then church, we're going to have to turn up the heat. We're going to fall back on our faces and pay the price again. We're one more time going to have to push the plate away. We're going to have to get back in the Word of God, and we're going to have to tell ourselves no. Because that's the only way we'll ever restore humanity. That's the only way we'll ever restore our families. That's the only way we'll ever... It can't be done cheap. We can't do it cheaply. Cheap will fall apart on us.